live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 77,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered as of yesterday. A compulsory purchase order for plans to develop a school campus in Buncrana has been launched within Bord Pleanála. The bishops of Raphoe and Derry have acknowledged the role of the church in the harsh and uncaring treatment of people in mother and baby homes. And Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has brought legislation before the Dáil calling for the banning of dual pricing within the Irish insurance industry. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, 77,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered as of yesterday. 4,000 people have been trained to give the vaccine while work is ongoing to finalise locations of mass vaccination sites. Casey O'Riordan reports.
69,373 healthcare workers and 7,925 long-term care residents have so far started the vaccination process. The HSE's Chief Clinical Officer, Dr. Colm Henry, says whether or not people who have already had COVID should be vaccinated is currently being considered.
Is it wise to give them a vaccine, number one? And number two, should there be a priority group, given that they will have developed their own immunity?
The Health Minister expects 7.5 million doses to arrive in Ireland between April and September, meaning 4 million people could be vaccinated in that time frame. HSE CEO Paul Reid says work is underway to finalise how to best administer it to the general population.
I think separate to mass vaccination centres, we most likely would be looking at regional and local centres because we know the power of communities mobilising around us as well.
The HSE says the priority list for the order in which the vaccine will be offered will be reviewed in time, but at all times healthcare workers will be prioritised.
Well, the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine is continuing today in nursing homes across Donegal. Vaccination teams yesterday administered the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to residents in Remelton and Milford. 77-year-old Elizabeth McLaughlin, a resident at Carndonagh Community Hospital, became the first person in residential services for older people in Inishowen to receive the vaccine today. Meanwhile, in South Donegal, Father McShane from Brocklis became the first person in residential services for older people in South Donegal to receive the job at Killybegs Community Hospital. It's projected the first dose of the vaccine will be administered to all nursing home residents in Donegal by January the 24th. Finola McColgan is Director of Nursing at Carndonagh Community Hospital.
This is a great day for Carndonagh Hospital, and especially for Lizzie, who's just had the first vaccine in Carndonagh. Since March, our residents and staff have been living with the fear of COVID. So hopefully today we can build this protection around our staff and our hospital and protect everybody, and we encourage everybody to get the vaccine as we go forward.
Special needs students at primary level will be able to return to the classroom as early as next week, but the Education Minister has given no timetable for the full return of schools. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Education Minister Norma Foley confirmed this afternoon that special needs students at primary level will return to school starting next Thursday.
We are working together towards a staggered return for children in special schools and a return to school for those in special classes in primary schools. Schools will also have discretion to accommodate their most vulnerable students.
Talks are continuing about getting special needs students in secondary school back as well, but Minister Foley provided no timetable for the full return of schools, simply saying it would be reviewed at the end of this month. Labour's education spokesman Éan O'Riordan doesn't think reopening will happen soon.
With the numbers that are circulating around, with the death count rising, that it is unlikely that we'll see schools open before the midterm break and possibly before Patrick's Day and possibly beyond.
Also, no clarity today on a timeline for when a decision will be made on whether state exams will go ahead. The Minister has said that preparations for the exams are still underway, with some changes to take account of the loss of learning that this year's 6 years have experienced. But a number of government TDs called for her to provide clarity to students in the next 2 weeks, while some on the opposition benches have called for the exams to be cancelled altogether. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
There's been an additional 16 COVID-related deaths in the north. 973 people have tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours in Northern Ireland. 850 people are being treated in hospital for the disease, while there are 58 patients in ICU. A compulsory purchase order for plans to develop a school campus in Buncrana has been lodged with An Bord Pleanála. Education Minister Norma Foley confirmed in December the process had begun during a meeting with Minister Charlie McConlogue. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The site for the proposed three-school campus is in the townland of Ballymacarry. The proposed three-school Crana College campus will be home to Crana College Secondary School, which has more than 500 students, Buncrana Gaelscoil, which was established in 1999, and the second-level Gael College to Kenaloan, which is currently housed in Tullyarvan Mill. Many students in Crana College have been taught in prefabs, while Buncrana Gaelscoil is using Buncrana Youth Club as its school building. The project has been on the agenda for over a decade and has seen false dawns in the past, with progress on deals on earmarked sites falling through. An Bord Pleanála will make its decision on the compulsory purchase order known on the 24th of May.
Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has brought legislation before the Dáil today calling for the banning of dual pricing within the Irish insurance industry. A recent central bank report revealed that the majority of insurance companies are using dual pricing, resulting in customers being charged 35% more, with around 70% of customers renewing policies with the same provider being charged significantly more than new customers of the same risk. The Insurance Restriction on Differential Pricing and Profiling Bill 2021 will now move to the second stage during private members' business. Deputy Doherty told the Dáil that there needs to be an end to discrimination in the insurance market.
Dual pricing is used by the insurance companies to identify customers who are less price sensitive and less likely to shop around. And they do this to target them with artificially high prices. They do this using opaque and complex pricing models, using big data without the knowledge of the consumer. Dual pricing is known to have a disproportionate impact on older and vulnerable customers. Its explicit purpose is to overcharge and price gouge its customers. It is now time to ban it. That is what my legislation will do. In September 2019, I wrote to the Governor of the Central Bank requesting an investigation into the practice of dual pricing. In October 2019, I submitted a complaint to the Central Bank regarding the practice of dual pricing in the insurance market. The Central Bank agreed to launch an investigation on foot of my complaint. The Central Bank's interim report in December confirmed that dual pricing is endemic in the industry, with more than 70% of customers paying more than the true cost of their policy as a result, and 2.5 million policyholders paying a combined €187 million more than the actual cost of their policies in a single year. Insurance companies are using dual pricing to discriminate and to rip off their customers. In Britain, the Financial Conduct Authority found that a ban on dual pricing will result in savings of between €4 and €12 billion for customers over the next decade, increasing competition and reducing time and money customers spend switching. There, it will be banned no later than October this year. Irish consumers deserve no less.
Over €42 million has been allocated for national roads in Donegal. The county has received one of the highest allocations in the country as part of Transport Infrastructure Ireland's grant allocations for national roads for 2021. Just over €41 million will go towards improvement works and €1 million for maintenance works. Minister Charlie McConlogue, in welcoming the funding, says continued support for local communities in Donegal is crucially important to maintain investment and support for local businesses in the years ahead. The bishops of Raphoe and Derry have acknowledged the role of the church in the harsh and uncaring treatment of people in mother and baby homes. Bishop Al McGuckian and Bishop Donal McKeown have issued a joint statement on the publication of the report of the Commission of Investigation into the homes. Ben Finnegan has more.
In the statement, the bishops described the church's role in failing thousands of young women as a source of embarrassment and shame. They said that there is no doubt that the church contributed greatly to the culture which was, as the report says, harsh and uncaring in relation to women who deserved only kindness and support. The bishops have described accounts of the hardship endured by those who lived in the county home in Stranorlar in the most unhealthy and undignified of conditions are truly heartbreaking and unbelievable. In terms of the castle in Newtown Cunningham, the bishops welcomed the report's positive findings about the staff, as it stated the staff were local women who, in the Commission's view, showed a great deal of empathy and, possibly more importantly, common sense. Both bishops acknowledged the truth of this reality and apologised sincerely to the women who were so badly let down.
An Arranmore fisherman says small fishermen have been left with crumbs off the table. It comes as there are calls for more designated Irish ports for Donegal fishermen affected by the Brexit fallout issue. New regulations mean rural Irish fishermen and Northern Irish fishing vessels are unable to land fish or obtain marine fuel in all but two ports, one in Killybegs, the other in Cork. Even boats with unquoted species cannot land at their nearest harbour. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Father John Joe Duffy, a native of Burton Port with strong fishing routes, says the situation small fishermen now find themselves in is serious and completely unacceptable.
These boats are small, they will have to take on extra fuel, and there's the danger of them running out of fuel. And one of these boats did run into difficulty last week and had to be brought ashore by the lifeboat, as far as I know. What I see it is that this is the last species that the small boats have left to fish, crab and lobster, and that has been shut down. So it is an attempt to shut down the entire inshore industry. I believe that the entire fleet is indeed being persecuted. We saw the Brexit negotiations, which were absolutely a total disaster for fishing in Ireland, where 25% of the entire quota has been lost. So that is detrimental. But again, I'm calling on the Minister to allow common sense to take place. This was a case of bureaucracy instead of common sense, and to protect the lives of these fishermen.
Meanwhile, Arranmore fisherman and island spokesperson Gerry Early says the regulations are outdated.
You know, for the want of being whining about this, the bottom line, and any fisherman is on here in the small sector will agree that all that we're getting is the crumbs on the table. Like, you know, the caviar is gone, we're getting the crumbs off the bread, simple as that. Like, and that's just the way it has been since, and in my opinion, 1972, and since we went into the European Union, that the small fishermen, one thing after another, have been just hammered, and it's gone to a stage now where, you know, on this latest regulation that they're enforcing since the beginning of the year, is it's outdated. You know, the regulation itself is outdated. It's a 2008 European regulation that was probably, you know, it did serve its purpose in the day where it was sort of maybe geared towards allowing bigger boats into, and I'm not talking about big pelagic boats coming into with 2,000 and 3,000 tonne of mackerel or hern or scad or whatever into Irish ports. And the designated ports at that time were Castletown Bear and Killybegs here in Donegal. Now, that's 2008. It's an outdated legislation.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Gaelic Games, and Dublin's Paddy Andrews has announced his retirement for inter-county football. The 32-year-old won 7 All-Ireland senior titles and 11 Leinster titles during his 12-year inter-county career. The St. Bridges forward also won 5 National League titles with the county. He says it's been the highest privilege to share the pitch with his Dublin teammates. Paul Devlin will remain as Tyrone under 20 manager for a further 3-year term. During his previous 3 years, he won 2 Ulster under 20 championship titles and the Philly McGuinness Cup. Paul was named the Ulster under 20 manager of the year for the 2nd year in a row last season. To Soccer Cross Channel, Arsenal captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang admits better discipline has helped turn their form around. They face Crystal Palace this evening, aiming to make it 4 Premier League wins in a row. Aubameyang says everyone on the squad knows that red cards proved costly in games earlier in the season.
I think we played so many games well, but suddenly we had, for example, a red card, and then it changed all the games. So it has been a lot of things like that that change our game. We find a way to score at the right moment.
Kickoff at the Emirates tonight is at 8 o'clock, and in a further boost to the Gunners, midfielder Thomas Partey is available for selection following a month out injured. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says they will need to work hard to keep this good form going.
We have to play to be dominant again in the game, to go from the first minute to try to win the game, to attack them and be cautious as well as the strengths that they have to try to control them as much as possible.
Well, Sunday's Premier League game between Aston Villa and Everton has been called off by the Premier League. Villa's entire first team squad are still isolating after a COVID-19 outbreak at the club. By Sunday, they will have played three less games than most of the other top-flight teams. Danny Ings is a doubt for Southampton's Premier League game at Leicester on Saturday after testing positive for COVID-19. The England striker was found to have the coronavirus after the one over Liverpool earlier this month and has been self-isolating ever since. Shane Duffy could be on the move. He's been linked with a move to Championship club Nottingham Forest, who are managed by Chris Hughton. The Republic of Ireland centre-half is currently on loan at Celtic from Brighton, but he's endured a disappointing spell since moving north to Parkhead. He did return home recently from the trip to Dubai for personal reasons. In rugby, Wales will be without Liam Williams for their opening Six Nations game against Ireland. He's been given a three-game ban after being sent off while playing for Scarlets in their recent Pro 14 defeat to the Cardiff Blues. Ireland will visit Cardiff on February the 7th for their opening match. Formula One driver Charles Leclerc has tested positive for coronavirus. The Ferrari ace returned the result during the team's routine testing and is self-isolating at his home in Monaco. The new Formula One season will now start in Bahrain in March after the opening race in Australia was postponed. Another man that's tested positive for coronavirus is tennis player Andy Murray. It means the former world number one's participation in the Australian Open is now in doubt. The first tennis Grand Slam of the year will begin on the 8th of February. Olympic 100-metre hurdles champion Brianna McNeil has been provisionally suspended from athletics after being charged with breaching anti-doping rules. The American is accused of tampering within the results management process. McNeil won gold at the 2016 Rio Olympics and was also world champion 3 years earlier, but she missed the 2017 World Championships while serving a one-year ban for missing three drugs tests. Finally, in golf, Seamus Power will tee off shortly for the first round of the PGA Tour's Sony Open in Hawaii. He's playing in a group alongside Bill Haas and Taylor Gooch, and they will be striking the first ball of their opening round at around 5:30. That's it from the sports desk for today, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin, and for weather now, staying mostly dry for the rest of the day with just a few well-scattered showers in moderate northwest winds. Tonight will be cold and mostly dry with temperatures falling to between minus 3 and plus 2 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, 77,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered as of yesterday. 4,000 people have been trained to give the vaccine while work is ongoing to finalise locations of mass vaccination sites. A compulsory purchase order for plans to develop a school campus in Buncrana has been lodged with An Bord Pleanála. Education Minister Norma Foley confirmed in December the process had begun during a meeting with Minister Charlie McConlogue. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has brought legislation before the Dáil today calling for the banning of dual pricing within the Irish insurance industry. A recent central bank report revealed that the majority of insurance companies are using dual pricing, resulting in customers being charged 35% more. And an Arranmore fisherman says small fishermen have been left with crumbs off the table. It comes as there are calls for more designated Irish ports for Donegal fishermen affected by the Brexit fallout issue. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Killigordon farmer Patrick Kelly about rainfall data for Donegal. But first this evening, it's good to start on a positive note. The recent surge in sheep prices is continuing, with lambs and hoggets reaching record prices for the time of year of €150 per head. Mark prices for lambs weighing upwards of 50 kilos are averaging from €142 to €148, with select lots hitting €150 per head or higher. Prices are being fueled by factory demand, with prices rising to €6.30 a kilo to €6.50 a kilo, and some quotes of even higher prices are also being reported. Well, Met Éireann has an observation network that gathers weather data across the country for use in weather forecasts, aviation, marine, agriculture, climate analysis, forecast verification and meteorological research. There are manned weather stations, automatic weather stations, climatological stations and also around 500 rainfall stations dotted across the country. These stations are run by a combination of voluntary observers and state agencies. One of the Donegal ones is in the Finn Valley and is run by Killygordon farmer Patrick Kelly, who's been telling me more. Well, Patrick, thanks for joining us this evening. Last year, according to Met Éireann's provisional review of the climate here in Ireland, was wetter, warmer and also sunnier in most parts of the country. Looking at the figures that you have for rainfall in Killygordon, East Donegal, anything stand out in particular for 2020?
Well, Chris, I suppose what it was a wetter than average year. In fact, one of the wettest years I've recorded. I have official figures here for 22 years now, and that was the third wettest year I've recorded. We had a total of 1,455 millimetres of rain here in Killygordon for last year. But if you drill down into that, there was some interesting sort of contrast in the year, and it sort of follows what Met Éireann have talked about for the country and for Donegal through Malin Head, is that we had a particularly dry and sunny spring through April and May. Actually, April was the driest April I've recorded in the 22 years of data I have. So we had less than 20 millimetres in April last. Of course, as a farmer, that's great for me because it's a very important time of year. So it left last year being actually a good year from a farming point of view, from my perspective anyway, given that I'm quite a dry farm here in the Finn Valley. But that followed the wettest February that I've recorded. And not only was February the wettest month that I've recorded, it's the wettest month of any month that I've recorded over the 22 years. We had just short of 294 millimetres of rain for February. So that was a record breaker. So they're the two records that stand out for 2020.
Now, we can only look at averages, and of course this is only a snapshot in time, but over the years that you've been recording these figures, can you see a trend? Are we getting wetter and warmer, as they say?
Yeah, well, it was certainly wetter. My average for this met station I have here is 1,184.3 millimetres of rain. That's the average over the 22 years, and that figure is continuously rising, so it is getting wetter. And if you look at the last 10 years, the three wettest years I've recorded have been in the last 10 years. That's 2015 being the wettest year, 2011 and 2020. So the past 10 years have been significantly wetter than the previous 10 years. So certainly getting wetter. I don't keep temperature records for Met Éireann, but I know the temperature records are showing that increase in temperature on an ongoing basis. So I suppose the sunshine and temperature we had last April, May would add to the average figures for the year past.
Now, we've spoken before about even in each county how things can vary so much, and that's due to the terrain, of course, as well, and West Donegal can be quite different to East Donegal. But nevertheless, what you're recording there does give another idea of what's been going on in this county. If you look at the rainfall for each month, people generally think June, July, August are the driest months, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, it's not. One thing I can guarantee is that August is one of the wetter months in the year, one of the more reliably wetter months of the year. So, for example, September is drier than August on average. So the driest month here is April, and the second driest is May, and that's pretty reliable. So that's April, May into June is the driest period. And once you come to sort of midsummer, certainly from June onwards, as was the case last year, because both June and July were wetter than average last year, it tends to start raining. And we don't need to tell people this. We know that our summers are bad here. So we generally have better springs and wet and poor sunny summers. That's just the climate we have. So not, April and May are our driest months.
And that may well come as a surprise to many people. We grew up learning about April showers, but they don't make that much difference, it seems.
In terms of volume of rain, no, that April is for the last. I'm just looking at figures here in front of me. Certainly since 2009, they've been drier than average. We had a very wet year in 2009 for April, but I know it's a very important month from my point of view as a farmer, because it just sets up, if you can get your ground dried out in April going into May, it just sets the ground up then to take the rainfall you would get in June and July.
Over the last few years, Patrick, we've had spikes that we will not forget, particularly Inishowen, of course, had that dreadful August, and we've had different examples down in South Donegal. There were a couple of months that were extremely wet as well in the last few years. So, there's always going to be the unexpected month that is totally out of sync with normal.
Yeah. Like last February was dramatically wetter than average. We would average about 95 millimetres for February, and last February we had 294 millimetres. So it was more than three times the average rainfall for the month. But, you were just getting the more intense rainfalls. And we had an example of that. Now, we're all aware of a landslide up in the mountains behind me during the summertime. But that there was a very intense period of rainfall around then as well. And anybody who lived along this area would have known that particular day has been very intense. A very intense rainfall. It's funny, it didn't really show up in my rain gauge because this is the nature of localised flooding. You could only travel maybe a mile away from my rain gauge and there was a lot of localised flooding, a lot of very intense rainfall, and yet it didn't show up in my rain gauge that particular day, but I knew it happened in the area because of what I've seen coming down the streams and the roads. So you get, and it's probably not surprising, the increasing temperature will increase the instability and lead to more increased intense rainfall events. So I think that's going to be more of a future for us than it has been in the past.
Well, if we had a crystal ball and we could forecast 100% accurately, it would make life a lot easier. The weather forecast is so important. Have you seen any changes in particularly in the early months of the year that people look at their farms and just take the decisions? Do they base them on previous years, or can it be down to a sort of by day or by week?
Yeah, well, but I've always said to people, we don't have a climate here in Donegal, we have weather. So you very much have to work with the weather you're given. And there's not that many rules around. You get dry spells in January and February, and you'll get wet spells in July and August. So you have to have that flexibility. But the big difference, of course, between the winter and the summer is the day length. So you don't have that drying in the winter because of the short days. So what you generally do have in the summertime. So I find the day length always been a very dramatic difference in this county because we're very far north, you see. So you'd see that difference even on the island. But you just have to work with the weather you're given. And there is obviously patterns like that. Spring, generally being a bit drier, allows us to do a lot of field work. So that's the way it's an important time of year. But any farmer in Donegal will tell you, you never miss a weather opportunity.
And finally, Patrick, just to explain to people, I mean, you are one of a couple of hundred people around the country who monitor this rainfall, and this all feeds into creating the bigger picture, and it is very important for not only historical records, but helping us to see if there is a change over time.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, you know, when it comes to planning processes and engineers and architects who are designing buildings and where they're going to build the buildings and how they're going to cope with the rainfall events, they tap into that data all the time. So that resource is there for agencies involved in those processes. But that information is available to everybody. You can go on the Met Aran website and drill down into the data, and anybody can even see my information here that I gather. So it's a wee bit hard to find at times, but it's there on the Met Aran website. You can drill down to your local rainfall station and see the data going back.
And just one other thing, so far this year, how has it turned out?
Yeah, this actually quite dry. We've had, the one I'm just seeing there, there's been 6 days it hasn't rained for the first 12. It's a bit of a record for January, but no, it's actually been quite dry. But of course, we know it's been very cold, and the volume of rain tends to fall away when you have a lot of cold weather. So it's been, because January is one of our wettest months, so far it's been quite dry.
And that was Patrick Kelly from Killigordon. Meanwhile, this week's Irish Farmers Journal is reporting that fertiliser price hikes are on the way. Some companies have already issued hikes in prices this week, while more are inevitable in the coming weeks. Industry reports suggest the main reason for the price increase is increasing raw materials, while COVID-19 is also upsetting the supply chains for some of the materials from some countries. Latest figures from the Department of Agriculture show that 16,700 out of a possible 21,000 eligible farmers have applied for the rollover year of the Beef Data and Genomics Programme. The average payment made to farms in 2020 was over €1,700, and it forms an important part of suckler farm income. And finally, in other news, all eyes will be on Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue as he battles with the tourism and trade sectors to ensure that farmers get the largest portion of the €1 billion Brexit fund. Minister McConnellogue has welcomed the fund and said he would work to ensure farm incomes were protected. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, January the 14th. The death has occurred in Croydon, England, of Brendan Moss, late of Woodside Green Croydon and formerly of Lismullidoff at Crossroads Killigordon. Funeral arrangements are to be confirmed at a later date. The death has taken place of Leo Devlin, Tubin Burnfoot. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning in St Mary's Church Vaughan at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Leo's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Due to HSE and government guidelines, Requiem Mass and interment are strictly for family only, with a limit of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. The death has taken place of Marion O'Neill, née Devine, 7 Alexander Place, Strabane, and formerly of Hillcrest, Derry Road, Strabane. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to aware, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. And the death has taken place of Anne Harper, St Mary's Terrace, Remelton. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, at wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary this evening at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass and rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/St Mary's Church, Remelton. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Dialysis Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Patrick Sweeney, Funeral Directors.